This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Hello, it's S-E-C. Although I don't do the yoga, you're listening to the Steve Carino Show. I'm your host, Steve Carino. Bang! I did that because I saw DDP's yoga commercial today. But hey, the Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. And if you didn't know that by now, I should come through your freaking headphones and slap you right in the mouth. But if you want to contribute, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino and get one of the four new Carino-inspired t-shirts. They're not really new since I've been pumping them out for the last 3 weeks, but there's a Steve Carino shirt, Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt, Premier Wrestling Federation shirt, and an American Tiger shirt who just happens to be graduating high school today. And they're up at the moment, so go over there and buy one, buy two, buy three, buy four. Plus today we're going to talk about what a deal I have for you people that want a Steve Carino shirt. Hey, you like to order from High Spots? Of course you do. Stupid question. Hey, they have everything from wrestling rings to wrestling gear, belts, DVDs, and DVDs hosted by me, Steve Carino. And if you don't know which ones by now, man, I'm going to come through the headphones and slap right in the mouth. But click on the High Spots link on worldofcarino.com. Bye, and they're going to get a kick a little George Washington's my way. Hey, on tonight's show, we have former Shimmer star Allison Danger. She'll be in the house, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we got one heck of a show tonight. And I say that, you know, it's our eighth episode, so we've already had a special episode, so we might as well have, like, a really big episode. We're going to start this episode right away by uncovering the Pixar theory. Now, I usually wait a couple minutes before I bring in my producer, Dan McGinn. But Dan, we have to talk about this because this thing has been blowing my mind since the last time we taped. We had people send in their Pixar theories, and we got to get to the bottom of this thing. People need to know what is going on. This is bigger than John F. Kennedy getting shot by our own government. This is huge. Dan, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I think I created a monster, however. I had no idea that just bringing up the conspiracy involving Frozen and Tangled and The Little Mermaid could lead us to opening up. This is the leadoff batter for this episode, episode 8. We're going to be talking about, of all things, the Pixar theory. As I live and breathe, Steve, I never would have imagined A, that I'd be doing a podcast with the King of Old School, but B, talking about Pixar movies and theories and conspiracies, but here we are.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, we just talked about it a few weeks ago about how cool Frozen was, and here comes a tweet from one of our fans at Steve Carino Show, and he says, yeah, do you know the Pixar theory? And then we're like, whoa. And it's been weeks now, and we've been investigating, and we've been talking to people, and we've been YouTube and stuff. Apparently, everything that's Pixar is intertwined somehow. And I watched Frozen again with Beckham last night, and I don't know, man. I'm trying to see where everything fits in. But what do you think? Do you think that everything is, you know, intertwined, or is it just something that bored people do to spark up a conversation on a podcast run by the Place to Be Nation?
Oh, no, I'm a true believer. I really am. I think that there's a reason why some of these animators, they probably have never been on a date. and that's saying something coming from me. They probably have never been out. All they do is they draw or they create program. They do what they need to do, and they just think, how can I get people talking? How, you know, I'm obviously not, I don't have the social skills. I don't have the abilities that other, you know, more well-rounded, charismatic people do. But what can I do? I know. I'll hide these little Easter eggs into kids' movies, and then the adults that are forced to watch them can look for them. And that's and that's what I think happens all the time, particularly with Pixar, as we'll soon see. But, I mean, it's pretty clear as day. If anybody could, with Google can see that the Rapunzel and Flynn are going to the party at the very beginning of Frozen.
Which blew my mind when I watched it last night. It's obvious when you're looking for them that it's them.
Yeah, it that's clear as day. If you're going to go with the whole stretch of, well, you know, Little Mermaid could have been rummaging through any ship, but what, I mean, just open your mind to the possibility, oh my gosh, that could very well have been the Frozen parents' ship. I mean, you know.
And have you read it going a little step further, where it's like the parents actually survive the wreck and they end up on an island and they have a son, and then they end up getting killed, and the son's name, Tarzan.
Yeah.
And you see like the paintings and stuff, and it looks so alike, and you're mind blown that in a cartoon world that they're trying to intertwine everything. And to me, it's fascinating. And I think what's even more fascinating is that no one's talking about it at Pixar. They totally, can we use the word? They totally kayfabe us about what what they're doing. I don't know, man. I like conspiracy theories. I definitely believe that John F. Kennedy wasn't just killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. I definitely believe in the Illuminati and the New World Order, and there's so many things. But now I think my favorite conspiracy theory is this Pixar theory.
Well, I believe in Hall, Nash, and Hogan myself, but for those that aren't in tune, as the two of us are, the Pixar theory states that all of the Pixar movies actually exist within the same universe.
Yeah, and at the same time somehow. And, you know, and then when you hear and see the things on YouTube, it makes you think, well, maybe these guys got something here. Huh. We got to get more to the bottom of it. If you have your Pixar theory, don't be afraid to tweet us at Steve Carino Show, or even write us at Steve Carino Show at placetobenation.com or SteveCarinoShow@gmail.com. We want to hear your theories. You know, I think Oliver Stone needs to really investigate this, put out an expose movie that I will buy. I have to get Kerry Silkin, former ROH owner, on this conspiracy theory, because he is Mr. Conspiracy Theory. And talking to him is amazing. I think if I send it to him and he gets into it, we could get him finally on the show, because I know he doesn't like to do any podcasts or radio shows because people are going to ask him about ROH. I would love to have a Pixar theory only conspiracy roundtable. That's what we're going to pick. Oh, I don't know, man. A lot of stuff going on in the world. A lot of stuff going on in the world. Monday Night Raw this week was very interesting, to say the least. They finally made a decision and they stripped Daniel Bryan of the WWE World Heavyweight title. Now the Money in the Bank main event will be basically your regular Money in the Bank ladder match, but the titles will be up for grabs, which leads me to believe that either they're going to split up the belts again, which I'm very not in favor of. I really hope that they don't. Or there's going to be a new star on the horizon. Now, we already know that Alberto Del Rio, Randy Orton, Cesaro, and Sheamus have qualified for the match. Who else is going to be? Because it's six, if I'm right, it's six competitors, correct?
Yeah, if you look at the match card for this event right now, the four guys that are already in appear to be on the card. Obviously, they're on the picture. But there's at least two, if not three guys actually that have question marks. You know, the little silhouette with the question mark. So there could be as many as seven, I think, in this match.
And usually it's six, right? It's so like I'm thinking the seven might be a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be crazy, because if you look at the four already, you got Sheamus, who's the current United States heavyweight champion. He's the former world heavyweight champion who had defeated Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania that basically, you know, shot him into this stratosphere of popularness by losing in 18 seconds. You have Randy Orton, multi-time WWE and world heavyweight champion. He was the guy that unified the belts late last year. You have Alberto Del Rio, former world heavyweight champion himself. Now, Cesaro has not held the championship.
Nope.
So that leads me to believe that he could be one of the dark horses. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that they are going to start building a new star. Now, we saw last week Seth Rollins, he broke up the Shield. He attacked Dean Ambrose. He attacked Roman Reigns. This week on Raw, a very passionate promo where he had talked about why he did what he did, and I thought it was amazing. And he needed to hit a home run there, because Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns both shot amazing promos. I mean, Dean Ambrose, to me, maybe the second coming of Roddy Piper when you talk about a non-scripted, you know, shoot from the heart promo. I just believe that, like, he is just magic on the microphone, whereas Roman Reigns is that rock. He's going to find himself, and he's going to explode. So you got three big stars there. Now, here's my theory. Now, it's not the Pixar theory, but I'm going to see what you think about this one, Dan.
Okay.
Seth Rollins will be the seventh man in the Money in the Bank match and will go on to win the championship.
To win it all.
He's going to win it all.
Mm.
Bryan comes back. Now, remember, we're going to be in June. Bryan comes back, and does he challenge at SummerSlam? Or does Bryan chase the championship all the way to the Survivor Series?
Yeah, and it would be nice if they could. I went to the Survivor Series last year, and it was a joke. It wasn't really up there as one of the big events. So it would be great if they actually gave some meaning to Survivor Series again. But I you got to remember back that when the Shield first started, they would every now and again have one-on-one matches, and you know, Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan was a dream matchup. I mean, that was a match that you wanted to see, and you were only going to get it as part of a six-man or a SmackDown or a Raw match that was going to be, you know, limited in time. So to have them on a main event card, on a main event and of a pay-per-view, nonetheless, would be something special, and it would be pretty gutsy. You know, you're giving the ball to a guy who for the last 2 years was, you know, basically an indie darling who was in a faction.
And a guy that, you know, if there was one negative that people could say about Seth Rollins, is that he wasn't a strong promo. He's an amazing athlete. He's a great wrestler. He looks the part. But everybody talked about, oh, he just doesn't shoot a great promo. When he was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor, he didn't shoot a great promo. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, since he got called up to the main roster, he's been great. And, you know, but he's been limited in what his promos have been. You know, they're doing the sports entertainment, believe in the Shield. But on Monday night, I really thought he broke through and told a great story out there. Now, this is also – we're talking conspiracy theories here. I'm going to say that the WWE did not decide to – break up the Shield until they knew for sure that Daniel Bryan was out of Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Leading me to believe that Triple H or whoever's the head writer right now said, you know what? Roman Reigns is the future. Ambrose is going to be so over like Piper that he's not going to really need the world heavyweight title. Do we put the title on Rollins to where, you know, we put so much heat on him, we give him the belt. Maybe Orton gets into a a feud over the United States title or the Intercontinental title, or turns babyface, I don't know. And going into WrestleMania, you know, I'm gonna throw it out here. I mean, we're talking 10 months away. Could we be looking at Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania, and maybe Cesaro versus Lesnar or Daniel Bryan one more time against Triple H, or a returning Punk? I mean, there's so many options that the WWE can go with. And you heard last week people crying and bitching and moaning about, oh, I can't believe that they broke up the Shield. And they, oh, the world is falling. This is bullshit. And now it just really opened up this plethora of things that they could do. I don't know about you, man. As a guy that's wrestled for 20 years and is on a weekly television show, I am more of a fan of professional wrestling at this moment than I have been in a long, long time.
Right. You know, it's funny because I was watching Raw and SmackDown, and it's really amazing how over. You really take a step back and realize how over the Shield were. I mean, when you consider that when they did finally break them up, the roar of the crowd that the two protagonists, in this case Reigns and Ambrose, got when they came out to finally confront Rollins was an electric atmosphere. And then just the heel heat that was developed. I mean, all you have to do really is stick someone next to Triple H and you're going to get heat. But then all of a sudden, this guy comes out and he's in his suit after being in that same like Shield uniform for so long. He's in that suit and he's, you know, his hair's all done up and everything. And the fans are eating it alive. It is just incredible. I was at first a little skeptical about, you know, when the Shield eventually turned face, how that was going to play. And once you broke them up, you realize, wow, what a phenomenal group this actually was.
Absolutely. And it gives the WWE so many different options and so many fresh options. And leading into the main event on Monday Night Raw, did you hear the pop that John Cena got when he saved the Shield from the Wyatt family? And here's a guy that usually gets shit on all the time. Right. And he, you know, He was over for that little bit, and it's great. It's going to freshen up everybody. I definitely think it's going to give, you know, we're going to see Seth Rollins and John Cena. We're going to see Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, you know, with the eventual plan of, I definitely think, and we had talked about this before, I definitely think they're going to go into a Triple H Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. We'd given that prediction before Payback. And, man, the WWE is running on all cylinders in, with guys that you never would think about 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. In 2004, would you ever imagine a CM Punk, a Tyler Black, a John Moxley, a Bryan Danielson, you know, and here are these guys, a Brody Lee, a Idol Stevens, and now all these guys are major players under different names in the WWE, in the big time. It's just amazing to see. And I have to give it up also for the veterans, the Randy Ortons, the Batistas, the Triple H's that are doing such a phenomenal job of making sure that these guys get over. I've never been so impressed with Randy Orton and Batista, with the way that not only are they working with the younger talent, but making sure that they're making the younger talent as important as they've been for the last 10 years. And the transition between this, you know, I don't know what kind of era we would call, you know, we went from the Attitude Era then, you know, to the E Era with Cena and Orton and Batista and these guys. But now you're getting into the next generation of Reigns and Ambrose and Rollins and Bryan. And if Punker comes back, I definitely see big things for Sandow. How about the Usos that are really finding their legs right now? The WWE is doing great. And I definitely think that they should send us money for putting them over this big this week too.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we didn't even mention kind of young guys who are actually veterans because they've been around for a long time. I mean, you have a roster that still comprises of guys like Kofi Kingston and Cody Rhodes, guys who you would have suspected by now might have gotten that lift, but they haven't yet. But they're still kind of in our mindset because they're on TV all the time. And they're not really even in the mix just yet, you know, or maybe they won't get that. Maybe they're settling into their kind of mid-card roles. But it's funny to think of some of the guys that are on the roster that we're not even talking about, you know. I mean, maybe for better or worse, if somebody got into the doghouse, then maybe that's why they're not getting a push. But, I mean, you still have talented guys on the low card as well that, you know.
Ziggler,
That could very well go with just about anybody.
I totally agree with that. And their roster is so strong. Yeah, you think about the supporting players that you, like you had said, the Kofi Kingstons, the Cody Rhodes, Goldust, Ryback and Curtis Axel. 3MB never wins, but they are on TV every week, knowing their role. Everybody now is getting into it finally after years of kind of juggling what's going to work, or let's throw some shit against the wall, see who's there. And at the end of the day, John Cena is still the face of the company, but he doesn't have all the pressure. And I think that's really going to help his legacy. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited. Hey, Dan, I want to mention something for a second. A couple hours ago, maybe 7 hours ago, you put up a cool thing, and I'm going to read it. I don't know if you can edit it out or whatever, but I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, you wrote, 5 years ago today, doctors gave my mom a 50-50 chance of living another 5 years. Today, she's healthier than she's been in years and can still make a terrific, I don't know what that is called. But here's to many more years, Mama Mac. And it's a little dedication to your mom. And I thought that was very cool. I don't know if she listens to us anymore since she didn't hear of all of CW's inner stories. But it's awesome to hear that, you know, a 50-50 chance 5 years ago, and now she's healthier than ever.
Yeah, and she makes a mean baklava. That's a Greek.
What is that?
It's a Greek pastry she usually makes it around Christmas time, and it's to die for. But and maybe if we ever get together, you have me over for grilling, and you know, Mickey Hughes, bring some baklava.
It's after Labor Day. I'm on land sharks.
But five years ago, my mom was diagnosed with a sarcoma in one of her knees. And what ended up happening was at the time, you know, and I don't think my mom would mind too much, but at the time when she brought it up to the doctor, she was experiencing pain in her legs, and the doctor, that bitch at the time, and for lack of a better term, thought that she might have, you know, she was probably could have used some weight loss. You know, if you got into some better shape, you might actually your legs might not hurt as much. And then when she went for a second opinion, which I guess is a good advice for anybody out there, if you're not sure and you're not necessarily trusting what your providers are saying, then seek that second opinion, because you never know. And when she got that second opinion, it got, you know, they did a scan, and it turned out that what she had down there was not just a sore or, you know, strain on the knee, it was actually a cancer. And so anyway, she went in and she got it removed and went in for the surgery. And then, and it was around this time, I was working for the Potomac Nationals at the time. I wasn't even around. She was told that, you know, I mean, you know, we got the cancer out, but it's one of these things that can be really difficult to project your outlook. And so she was given the stat of 5 years is about a 50-50 proposition. And so, you know, she got through it, you know, long story short, that's why I posted what I did. You know, it's still kind of, you know, touch and go, but she is healthy. She's doing great. She's the toughest little woman you're going to see. And I really felt the need to post that out there. I got a lot of responses, and that wasn't really the intention. I just wanted to get, you know, some people, you know, you're on Facebook, you don't really see, or you like a thing here and there, but you don't really get to know somebody. So I wanted to make sure that people understand, like, hey, you know, I'm lucky to have the family that I have. And you know, I gave you a hard time because of the whole rub and tug thing, but she is a fan of the show. She's really energized by the product ever since I started working at Place to Be, and you know, if she's listening right now, I hope she is. You know, she might get to this probably about 2 or 3 months from now, but I hope she really enjoys hearing you bring that up, because she really is a trooper. She's a tough one.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's an awesome story, and it's good to hear. You know, cancer affects so many people in the whole world, and it's just you know, sad, and it's great to hear a story of, you know, somebody overcoming. So I'm very excited to hear that. Hey, Dan, before I pitch to you so I can hear your sweet voice tell us where to find the Steve Carino Show, I need to tell everybody about this little contest that I'm going to have. Now, this contest is going to consist of you buying a Steve Carino shirt on prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. Now, what kind of contest is that, right? From this Friday, we're talking June 13th on, June 13th to the 4th of July, if you go to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino and buy either an American Tiger, a Premier Wrestling Federation, a Mr. Wrestling 3, or a Steve Carino shirt, or all four, you will, and you then have to tweet it at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show, and you will receive $5 rebate. Yes, $5 per shirt. That means that if you go and you buy all four shirts and you tweet out at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show, and you show the world how much of a fan you are, you get $5 for that shirt back. Unbelievable. You'll see all the details on worldofcarino.com. $5. You're going to buy the shirts anyway. So instead of it being $19.99, at the end of the day, 4th of July, you want a beer or something like that? Well, hell, I'm $5 short. Nope. King Carino just PayPal'd you $5 extra back because you showed the world that you're a fan. Let's put a number to it. Let's sell 30 shirts by the time that this contest is over. So it runs June 13th to July 4th. America's birthday. Buy your Steve Carino shirt. Buy a Mr. Wrestling 3 PWF American Tiger shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. Tweet it out. Show the world. You'll get $5 back. Whew! Can't beat that. Dan, sing me some love.
Are employees or family of employees of the Steve Carino Show eligible for this contest?
Eligible. Eligible.
Eligible.
If I buy my own shirt and tweet it out, I will give myself $5 back.
I think the King of Old School will be represented at this year's Money in the Bank from Boston, as Place to Be Nation will invade the TD Bank Garden. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've never, and I'll get to my pitch in a second, I've never actually seen live a major championship change. And that's pretty that's saying something, because I went to Night of Champions a few years ago, so odds were in my favor that I'd see like a big title change. And yes, I saw Team Hell No win the tag titles back, and I've seen the Divas title change twice, but not the big one. So now I'm guaranteed that thanks to Triple H.
I'm excited.
So you want to know where you could find the Steve Carino Show?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. You can find the Steve Carino Show in any of the following ways: by visiting theplacetobenation.com and clicking the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be podcast app, and that's by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter at Place to Be Nation and at Steve Carino Show. Get the retweet by sending us tweets to at Steve Carino Show, and like us at Facebook, only at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, if you have questions for our final segment or suggestions for this program, email us at Steve Carino Show at placetobenation.com, Steve Carino Show at gmail.com, or tweet us at Steve Carino Show. Steve!
Love it. I absolutely love it. Hey, when we come back on the Steve Carino Show, we're going to have Allison Danger join us. Whew. This should be fun. I've known her for, well, almost all of her life. But we'll get into that. Hey, this is the Steve Carino Show.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Carino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Carino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Carino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Shout until your people trying to bless your spot, but we don't believe that, because CBS tells a lot. On who got shot and who does all the crime.
Danger!
And you do it all the time.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger! When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger! When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
We're back on the Steve Carino Show, and I gave you that little because I listen every Friday to see what kind of music Dan and the guys from Place to Be Nation throw in there, and I bet you it's never what I think it is. And it's some music I've never even heard of before. Well, I'm excited. Took 8 episodes, but I finally got her on. Ladies and gentlemen, she was a... let me see, a 13-year veteran before she retired, and she's had a real retirement. I'm excited. She's one of the brain trusts behind Shimmer Wrestling. She's a person that I've known for almost, I would say almost all her life. And I'm excited to have her on. We have Allison Danger on the line. How's it going, kiddo?
It's good. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I keep hearing that we're going to be in the same city today.
I'm really excited about that. Hubert, right?
No, that's next week. You're a week ahead.
Philadelphia, but, jumping
we're,
ahead.
We're going to be in Philadelphia tonight for American Tigers high school graduation. It's going to be great. I'm glad you're coming in. I didn't know that you guys were that close, but it's just so funny how this wrestling thing works.
It's such a small world, you know. It's 6 degrees of separation. Everybody is connected to everybody somehow.
Right? Craziness. and we're going to be hanging out tonight. Alice in Danger, American Tiger, myself. It's gonna be a fun time. Now, Allison, I know your story. You know, I read the internet, I've read the sheets and stuff like that. I got a good bio on you. So I want to ask you, what made you break into professional wrestling?
Well, I pretty much fell into it back in May of 2000. I had followed it for years, sometimes begrudgingly. I had this older brother that used to beat me up every Thursday night when our parents went to bowling. So I was pretty bitter towards wrestling for a few years.
He and sounds then, like a real asshole.
What a dick, let me tell you. But I had ended up becoming friends with Francine from ECW, and she had asked me to go to an independent show that she was working on in Reading, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I was like, yeah, let's go along for the ride, hang out. Ended up hanging out in the back with her and a couple of the other of the ECW guys. And the Sandman shows up and he doesn't have his wife. And he's like, well, she was supposed to be my valet. I can't do a really good Sandman voice.
Yo. Yo, girl.
That's exactly how it started. But he asked me if I could fill in. And he's like, you know wrestling. And I'm like, I don't know how to wrestle. But he's like, you can do it. You can do it. Just get out there. Hit somebody in the balls with the stick. I'll hand it to you. Tell you when to hit them. So I went out there and he pointed to somebody's balls and I hit him with a stick. And that was history in the making. Within a month, I'd gotten contacted by the promoter who was like, would you like to come back and train and all that? So I did. I started training at IWA Reading in the dojo. Oh, what was that called? He owes me $50. Dio. Was it Dio's Dungeon? Is that what it was? Something along those lines. And I just took off from there.
Oh, wait. Allison, we lost you for a second. What was it called again? Was it Dio's Dungeon?
I think so.
Or just the dungeon at that time.
I remember the dude because he owes me $50, and I've never forgotten that.
Who? Terry Francovia?
No. Jimmy Dio himself owes me money.
Wow, he owes everybody money. I actually broke in under Jimmy Dio. Luckily, I met Mean Mark Mest, who's a real nice guy. And you took to professional wrestling very quickly for someone that wasn't very interested in it growing up. And you went from there. You started with IWA and then moved on and trained with Chikara, and you just went from there. Now, we didn't have a lot of interaction in the pro wrestling world. We once had a match where it was myself and Sumi Sakai against you and Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. And it was one of those things that, you know, unfortunately Larry's passed, but I believe what a great time that was.
That was so good. He was so much fun to work with. We had a few road trips together, and we had met each other through Chikara because I was training there under Mike Quackenbush, Chris Hero. And I'd been roommates with Claudio Castagnoli, you know, now known as Cesaro, the Swiss Superman, or Uncle Claudio, as we call him at our house. And yes, my daughter right now has decided that she needs gear like him because they're going to be a tag team, and together they're going to take the belts.
Ooh, I'm going to want to talk to her if she's around in a little bit.
And she voxes him after pay-per-views and such and gives him advice on what he could do better in the ring. I'm not lying. This is true.
She should tell me.
It involves spanking.
Well.
Yes. She says if you spank your opponent, you have a better chance of winning. Of course, she waits till after I'm retired to tell me this.
Right. You could have done a lot. Now, you had gone over to Japan. We had gone to Japan together.
Yes.
For Pro Wrestling Sun, which was a lot of fun. Now, you also have a great story of how you met your husband.
I do. I have a wonderful story. My husband is part of Swiss Money Holding. I like to tease him that he is the Marty Jannetty to Cesaro Shawn Michaels.
Right, and just to give the fans that are listening here on the Steve Carino Show, we have Alice in Danger. Now, her husband... we're getting into the story, was a teammate of Cesaro in Europe. Shoot European. They're both from Switzerland. They were part of a great tag team called Swiss Money Holding. So you really call him the Marty?
Oh, yeah, all the time, especially when he's got his sassy pants on and decides he's going to mouth at the wife. I'll be like, here, quiet down, Marty.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Them's divorcing words, right?
Kind of, but I hope not. Now, because a lot of people don't realize that I met your husband a good maybe a year or two before you did.
Right. Like, how crazy is that? Again, it's such a small world in wrestling.
It definitely. And then you had told me, you know, because we were buddies, and you had told me, like, hey, I met this wrestler. And I thought, shit. And I'm thinking, you know how wrestlers are. And as soon as you said, yeah, he wrestles as RS, I go, oh my God, that's the nicest guy ever.
Well, it's funny because I met him at a GSW show in Germany. I was there with Chris Daniels working together with him. And we had joked all night that I was going to marry him and bring him to the States so he could be reunited with Claudio. And he kept calling me wifey and I kept calling him hubby. And, you know, within 3 months, we actually were engaged. And a couple days after we met, we had our first date in Paris and then he came to visit me in England. But right before he came over, I was on a road trip back in England where I was living for a little bit with Sweet Soraya.
Sweet Soraya.
And she's amazing, and I confided in her, listen, I met this wrestler, I'm a little anxious about dating a wrestler, but, you know, he's a really nice guy. I was like, do you know him? His name is Aris. Her exact words to me were, piss on his leg, mark your territory, and lock him down.
He ain't no wanker.
That, oh my gosh, she can say nothing but good things, and she takes pride in saying that she helped get us together.
She's amazing. She left me a birthday voicemail that said, hello, love. I just want to tell you, happy birthday, and you can go fuck yourself. And my wife thought it was the coolest thing ever.
What's neat with her is her son and you apparently share the same birthday.
Yes, me and Zach. And it's just so funny how, you know, my family and her family and your family were just all wrestlers, so like a big wrestling family.
I swear that my family and her family were like the British American equivalents of each other.
I see the same thing.
My family has quite as many belts as hers.
Yeah, that's true.
But the Zach who shares your birthday, his son shares my birthday.
Wow.
And I was with Sweet Soraya when her grandson was born. We were in Montreal together in a hotel room.
That's pretty nuts.
Yes, she had just violated me.
Which she will do. She violated my mother once.
Yeah. I happened to be at that show where your mother got violated. They're apparently planning a trip to Vegas together. I don't know. I think it's getting serious.
It's bad.
Yeah.
You know, Steve.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, yeah.
I'm starting to get a little American Tiger feel on this one. I mean, I'm getting that still kind of sneaking suspicion sitting here up here in the Northeast that, I mean, you two seem to be in the same place at the same time quite a bit, and we're kind of thinking conspiracies here. I kind of smell one afoot.
Hey, awesome heels get booked together.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, you know, we're both heels. You know, we've known each other for a long time. We grew up basically in the same town. We went to the same high school. You know, but so did John Smiley of the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, so did Jimmy Franks of the Bloodhound Gang. So you can't say that we're all related.
We have the same chiropractor, and Jimmy.
And think about this. You know, we were talking earlier in the Steve Carino show, and our guest this week is Allison Danger. We were talking about the Pixar theory. Do you know the Pixar theory?
That every Pixar movie kind of has a connection to another movie. Same with Disney.
Right. And doesn't that blow your mind?
Have you seen Frozen? Have you seen all the Disney stuff in Frozen?
Holy shit, right?
Rapunzel and Flynn?
Oh, yeah, me and Dan have been talking about it for weeks.
Yeah,
that's why I want to get your daughter, KG, on here, because, you know, we got to talk a little Frozen before, you go.
She's going to want to sing for you. But if you go into the open trading post on Frozen, you will find a picture of Mickey Mouse in there, apparently.
Really?
Yes.
Dan, that just adds to it.
I know.
Right? And that's kind of like us in wrestling. We have that Pixar-Disney thing going on.
Correct, but... You know,
and Dan, I'm a little concerned that you likened yourself to American Tiger in terms of, are you graduating high school or do you just like high school girls?
Whoa.
This is like Matthew McConaughey, the Dazed and Confused here?
Or like Jerry Lawler?
This is not about me. No, it's just
an inappropriate joke, not realizing how appropriate it was to his life.
Now, the thing about American Tiger is that Steve was basically finishing his sentences. I mean, he basically was, virtually he was kind of doing that thing like a parent would do, which is like lick his thumb to get the dirt off of his cheek. Like that's how it sounded. That's
Steve
how
just interrupts a lot.
It's just a mentorship. I mean,
yes.
Granted, you could get American Tiger shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. That doesn't mean anything more than like, I'm just mentoring him.
Right?
And not in a weird way.
No. You tend to take on a little bit of the personality of your mentor.
See, Dan, you're digging some shit and it's wrong.
I'm getting a creepy vibe off of this guy.
I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah.
That's
unbelievable.
So yeah, let's get back to Frozen. Isn't that a great movie?
Oh my gosh, best movie ever. Does anyone want to sing Let It Go? Come here. I have a special guest for you guys.
Hi, Kendall.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, Uncle Steve.
Oh, hi.
Can you tell him about Frozen? What do we think about Hans?
He's a poopy head.
He's a poopy head? No way.
Poopy head.
Yes, right. Yeah, because at the end, he was trying to kill Anna and Elsa. But he was really in love with Anna, but not Elsa. But all this time, he'd been trying to kill Elsa.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Did you like Olaf?
He was the funniest person in the world.
He's the funniest person.
I always sing Olaf in Summer to Beckham.
Let it go. Oh man, he's not good. I want it. He's not good.
I know. She just saw a picture of Beckham.
Oh, yes. Hey.
And her brain just exploded. Hey, Kendall.
Kendall.
You want to build a snowman?
You don't have to build a snowman.
I fixed the company.
Oh, and she fell asleep.
Oh. I started talking to the picture, Donald.
Hang in there, Joan.
It gets a little lonely out there, too.
Oh Kendall, are you going to get to meet Beckham this weekend?
Hey!
See, that's the cool thing about being friends with another wrestler. Like, kids play together, Dan.
Right? She's going to the shows and playing with the other kids.
Steve, did she call you uncle?
What?
She calls everybody uncle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is she going to call me uncle?
No, I won't let her. It's creepy.
It's kind of like the Good Brother Network in professional wrestling. Hey, brother. Hey, brother.
Right?
Kids call wrestlers uncle all the time.
All the time.
Uncle Allison.
Right? CM Punk was known as Punkle to several of the kids.
See? Yeah, you're digging a hole. Now, Allison Danger, I want to get back into your career. You extensively wrestled in Europe where you met your husband, Aris, and you guys got married down in North Carolina. I want to give you a quick congratulations on 6 years being married.
It's because I won't let him get that citizenship, so he can't leave me yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I keep telling them, honey, the test is too expensive. But really, it's just once he has that passport, he doesn't need me anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't
tell
him.
Get away from that. Now, you're an immigrant yourself, just like myself.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. You were born in Winnipeg, Canada, moved down to the States when you were a baby. I was born in Winnipeg, Canada. So was Chris Jericho.
I was just about to say, hey, Dan, do you think us and Jericho are related now, too?
You know, all you Canadians are probably related in some way, shape, or form.
Hey, we're not Samoans. We're Canadians.
Yeah, that's true. They're all related.
Yes, that's legit. Yeah.
Now, you wrestled in Europe, then you also wrestled in Japan. Talk to us about the experience of wrestling in Japan and how different it was about wrestling in the United States and wrestling in Europe.
Well, it's nice to go to Japan and not have anybody chant she's got herpes when you're at ringside. That's always fantastic.
Wow.
But the fans in Japan were just amazing. So respectful and so appreciative of wrestling as a sport and as an art. and just finding that passion from the fans, and even going to the dojo and finding the passion of the other athletes there. I mean, the dedication is second to none over in Japan. And going over to Europe, you get to wrestle such a different style. I got to wrestle British rounds for the first time. And a lot of people in Europe, they just want to be entertained. And you bring in that entertainment factor. You didn't even have to do a lot. Like, even a body slam would get such a big pop from the crowd. You'd have fun. The fans are a little cheekier over there and a little more violent in terms of... I remember I actually emailed you about this when I had emailed my mother. The first time I wrestled in Ireland, I was in Waterford, Ireland, and I was over there for Irish Whip. And, you know, the British and the Irish don't always get along, and I had to wrestle a British girl. So, of course, I said to the crowd, you know, that the best that the Irish could give me was a Brit, which did get me much love. I don't understand why. And then there may have been talk about certain people or why abortion was legal, and there, you know, they're all touchy about killing babies over there. So, lo and behold, these two young ladies that I had jaw-jacked with had gone home, got their big sister and kitchen knives, and were waiting for me in the parking lot.
It was Irish, real tough. Dan's an Irishman. Yeah. He is. Mm. Now, like, where did you learn all... Because throughout throughout your career, I've been wrestling longer than you. I've heard how great of a heel that you developed. Now, I've known you since you were, you know, young, since we grew up in the same town. I knew you were a heel from the moment that you came home from the hospital. But for everybody else, like, how did you, how did you develop your heel persona? What were some of the influences?
You are a bit of an influence, though I never like to admit that. Just a lot of the stuff I would watch, I would notice that with a lot of heels, they would find just that fine line between okay and stepping into going too far. And they would always just skirt that line and occasionally would step over it. And that's what intrigued me, is seeing how I could elicit such a response from people just by stepping just a little bit over that line, not too far, but just taking a pop into that other side, then popping right back. And I have fun. It's easier to make people hate you than to make people like you.
Oh, I go through that every night at home.
And I can be natural cranky pants.
That is very true.
It's well for me, but yeah, I've heard that I can be a bit of a mean heel.
You are. And I got to ask you, this is a question that's always been on your mind. Does your mother love you more than your brother?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, see, I have that in my family too. I definitely believe that my mother loves my sister over my... Yeah.
But I mean, I can't blame my mom because I'm... Let's face it, I'm pretty awesome. You know, I'm a good kid. I call her every day. I was a good kid growing up. Never was in trouble with the principal. My mom was on a first-name basis with our high school principal, okay, because of my older brother.
I think that's bullshit, because from the story that I read on Wikipedia didn't your mother go to high school with the principal?
Yes.
You watch that dirty mouth and stop telling lies.
Clearer than I do. I like when they put the fake stuff on there. Like, I read once that I had a WWE tryout with Michelle McCool, and she drop kicked me and broke my nose. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. I'm going to leave that up. So
you know what? I once put on my Wikipedia page that I had AIDS, but then I performed in Louisiana and they had to take it down because I passed my test. Now, did you tell people the same thing that I would tell people during WrestleMania weekend? You know, the Louisiana State Athletic Commission required an HIV and a Hep C test. And I started the rumor that if you weren't booked for WrestleMania weekend, you had AIDS.
I don't think that was a rumor. I think that was the truth. And I think we need to spread that further.
Right? You didn't see an Abdul the Butcher in New Orleans.
Right? Wait a second. I wasn't in New Orleans.
You got some explaining to do then.
Great. It's all this Vegas living, you know.
So, yeah, you live in Vegas.
It's in your system forever.
you retired in 2013, and you live in Vegas, the city of sin. What's Allison Danger up to these days?
I go to the gym and I go to the library. You know, I'm raising a child here in Las Vegas with Aris, so you know, we don't get to live that crazy life. Though I recently did have a night out on the town with Sassy Steffi, Allison Kay, and the Cat Power, because they had come in for a show, and we went and saw drag queens and discovered that Cat Power apparently is a member of the Illuminati.
And when we were just talking about the Illuminati. This is really a conspiracy theory podcast.
Right? This is like the X-Files.
Yeah.
I like that. That was a great show.
So, yeah, Allison, we're going to wrap up here in a couple seconds.
Okay.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Allison Danger, nice and easy. I'm on Instagram at CJFitLV. I do have a Facebook page for Allison Danger. My private Facebook page is private.
Word up. Yeah, don't you hate getting those Facebook requests from people you don't know?
Yeah. Well, I'm friends with your mom. Well, and? That means nothing to me.
Well, you know what's crazy? Is my mom always has to comment on everybody's page. Does your mom do that?
All the time. Likes pictures. She's become friends with my friends on Facebook, and now they're planning going out without me in Vegas.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
We should introduce them. Parallel lives.
Right?
That's amazing. It is. It's
like
great.
Heavy bacon.
Well, I can't wait to see you this weekend. This weekend you will be, in Philadelphia for American Tigers graduation. And then next Friday you will be at the Premier Wrestling Federation 400 Hubert Boulevard in Hubert, North Carolina, where you will be a special referee in a match involving Mr. Wrestling 3, Katie Taylor versus Jake Manning and Soulja Boy. Like, I'm very excited to see you. Like, this is a good show. Wrestling 3 is a pretty cool guy, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. I heard he's all right. I heard he's gotten pretty chunky, though, so I don't know. Like, I might show him some core stuff, because I do teach
it. It's a rumor.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'll Google it.
And you could get advanced tickets right now or a week away, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. Show starts at 7:30. You could get tickets at the door. That's what most people do. And no one buys advanced tickets anymore, but go to the website. You see all the information. 7 great matches are on tap, and Allison Danger will be doing autographs and selling T-shirts before the event. Doors will open at 6:45. Allison, we'd love to have you back on, to get into not only a little bit more of your career, but why you ended your tenure in professional wrestling. Would you like to come back?
Absolutely, I would love to come back. Dan, are you willing to put up with me one more time?
Yeah, I think so. We'll have just a nice little family reunion, as it were.
Says you. I know, right? Where'd you find this guy, Steve?
I don't know. He's a little weird. Allison, I just want to thank you for coming on this week on the Steve Corino Show, and I'll see you at graduation.
All right, see you then. Thanks, guys.
All right, love you, kiddo. I mean, I'll talk to you tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, when we come back on the Steve Corino Show, it's going to be Twitter love, a little Q&A, maybe a little King of Old School story time. This is the Steve Corino Show.
Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show. And I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week. It's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys' MMA Blitz.
Forget about it.
Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at the History of WWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
What's the difference between me and you? Me and you? Me and you? What's the difference between
and
me
now,
and you?
Time for a little Twitter Q&A with the Back King of Old School and Lorenzo Dan and too on the Steve Carino Show.
It's Twitter tweet Q&A. Twitter Q&A. See, that's what Steve Goff should be doing, a little bit of rap, a little Twitter Q&A. Love, story time, and then we take it home. That should be the lead. I'm going to have to get on him about that. I want to thank Steve Goff again for his few liners that he threw in there. The voice guy's always there for me. And also want to thank Allison Danger for coming on the Steve Carino Show. She told a lot of great stories. So funny how her and my life are just like, you know, we've intersected so many times. It's pretty awesome. Now it's time for some Twitter listener Q&A. You can join us every week. Tweet at Steve Carino Show. Email us, Steve Carino Show at Place to Be Nation. Steve Carino Show at Gmail. You know how it works, man. We want to get some of your questions there. And we're going to start it off. Dan, it's your turn to start it off this week.
All right. Yeah, we have a great crowd of questions. And I almost relate our questions to a Los Angeles Dodgers baseball team crowd. You know, they eventually show up. It just might be in the third or fourth inning. But they do show up. And that's what our fan base does here. Last minute questions all around, but we love them all. Here's one from at Honor Report, and this is interesting because it's topical because he just appeared on a competing podcast that has nothing to do with Place to Be Nation. The Honor Report asks, at Steve Carino Show, how about Justin Credible as an ideal guest of this show?
How about the Honor Report ask a question? It's not so stupid. Holy Jesus. This is like two or three now that he's asked that is dumb. Now, Justin Credible just appeared on another podcast, and I don't want to say the name, Steve Austin Show. And granted, Steve Austin Show gets you know 13 million times the hits that we do. Let me tell you a little story about Justin Credible. And it's not going to be popular, and people are going to write in at Steve Carino Show. Don't tweet me at King Carino because I don't want to hear it. Justin Credible to me is a guy that I learned so much off of him when I first started in ECW, and I got along with him very well. But man, I've also seen the other side of Justin Credible. I'm going to tell a quick story. Now, I wouldn't want to have him on the Steve Carino Show because he wasn't reliable the last time I needed him. And it goes back to 2006 when I was booking 1PW in England, and I had just taken over the book, and they had booked him and Lance Storm for a tag team tournament. And, you know, once I had taken over the book, you know, I had it there, and he ended up no-showing. And the circumstance of him no-showing, you know, now 8 years later, he still never explained himself. And I really took that to heart, because, you know, he knew that I was the booker. He knew what the plans were, and he still decided not to get on that plane that day and never apologized for it. So, you know, I can work with the guy, and, you know, I can have a conversation with the guy, but – you know, for him to be on our Steve Corino show, that's not going to happen. Honor Report, you have a better chance of being on the Steve Corino show. No mail today, my love. My wife just walked in. That wasn't part of the answer.
I was going to say, I mean, it's only been 8 episodes, but I figured we'd get to the my love portion of our relationship by about episode 20, 25, 30.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a lover. I love... All right, now the Honor Report also has a second question that wasn't as bad. I'm still a little hot, Adam. He writes, how hard was the language barrier when you debut in Japan? How did you cope? Well, the language barrier in wrestling is not as bad as you would think it is, because moves are called what they are. Now, there's a couple different things, and I tell young guys this all the time. Like, a forearm is an elbow there. A suplex is a brain buster. And, you know, the first couple times the guys are like, I give you brain buster. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I really don't want to land on my head. But everything else is basically the same. And, you know, to me, Japan was my WWE. I always wanted to go there when I was a kid. So I decided that if I'm going to try and make a career out of this in Japan, I need to learn a language. And I would say, now I haven't been to Japan in 2 years, but I would say that I could speak Japanese at maybe a third grade level. Apparently that shocked the shit out of Dan, because he hasn't come back with our next question.
Third grade level. I don't know. I don't know any language outside.
No?
And I hardly know English, as some people might say, but yeah, I was never any good at the foreign language thing.
You know, you never took like Spanish or anything?
You would have thought, you know, trying to go and become a broadcaster, that at some point I would have tried to learn Spanish, but other than the junior high mandatory required course in Spanish or French, that was it for me.
See, I took French in high school. Hun, you took French in high school too, right? Yeah. My wife took French in high school. I know le papier. And un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix, onze.
What?
11. I can count to 11. But I can't communicate with Kevin Steen in French. It was definitely right. Don't you tell me how to speak French. And I know a lot of Spanish curse words from living in Puerto Rico and in wrestling for WWC. I mean, whew, cabrón. And punta and hijo de puta.
There you
all
go.
Those bad things. What?
You might have a chance of getting Mama Mac, my mom, to listen to the show again if you only use curse words in foreign languages.
Really? She likes the bad tongue in a different language?
No, I just don't think she'd know what they mean. So she might just chalk it up to, hey, you're just speaking gibberish.
Yeah. On the Ring of Honor shows, War of the Worlds, I showed everybody what shit was.
Mm-hmm.
Cuso. So, you know, it was, you know. Smart mofo. I got to tell you a quick story before we get to the next question. My wife doesn't know me at all.
Wow, that's convenient.
We discovered things this week that she never knew about me. I had done like a costume thing for the Monster C for the PWF show. And she goes, you can draw? I go, a little bit. She goes, why don't I know this? And then we were talking, what were we talking, conspiracy theories?
History,
yeah. She goes, I didn't know you knew history. I go, and you never asked. She goes, who are you? Yeah.
Well, that's wild, because I have a lot of women in my life who know too much about me, and that's why they will never be my wife. So it's kind of the opposite problem.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
So the next.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The next question is from Fish Approved, but it might as well be from myself because I've been to an indie show recently, New England Championship Wrestling, and I kind of didn't know the answer to this, so it kind of affected my interactions with the wrestlers. So he writes, hey, where do you think the line is where you, when you interact with wrestlers at a show at the merch booth?
Where do I think the line is?
Yeah.
Sometimes not at my table. I don't know. You know, I'm a big believer, and I teach this in my seminars, is that heels and babyfaces can sell merchandise because a heel always believes that he is a babyface at heart. So if someone is buying you your stuff, that means that they understand you. If they don't buy, and honestly, you know, 90% of people are not going to buy your stuff. You know, it's just how it is. I mean, then they're wrong. And, you know, I use that, but I also, as a heel, don't go out in intermission. I will go out before the show. And I do that. And for me, sometimes it's a little weird because I hate the merchandise table. I absolutely despise the merchandise table because Steve Corino, the person, is very different than Steve Corino, the heel wrestler. And, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm wearing my buddy Corky's t-shirt, not like his actual t-shirt, just like his brand t-shirt. I'm wearing Philly's pajamas and I'm wearing my glasses. Like, you know, I'm a big real nerd in real life, who somehow has a hot wife. And, you know, but my wrestling persona is, I'm the biggest asshole of all time. Like, my wife hates, like, if I tell her that, oh, you want to go to a show, she'll be like, are you a heel? Or she goes, are you a bad guy? Because, you know, she hates when I'm really a bad guy. So it's tough for me sometimes because, you know, I want people to boo me and watch me and, you know, interact with me in the ring. But I also have a hard time being that asshole at the table. It's much easier when you're an asshole to me. Because and you see it all the time. I was at a show in Myrtle Beach last week, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is such a resort town, but you would have thought sometimes some of these people were like from West Virginia. And it was like every question that they asked me was not me. Like, hey, were you the guy that threw the NWA belt in the trash can? I'm like, what? No, that wasn't me. And yeah, it's just nuts.
Yeah, everybody knows that was Chris Candido. Right?
Right? No, Shane Douglas. But I do get every once in a while, like, hey, I thought you died. And I'm thinking, who are you talking about? I'd be like, didn't you used to be with Sonny? I'd be like, no, that was Chris Candido. And he looks nothing like me. Like, I'm 6'2". Like, Candido was like 5'7" and jacked. Like, besides our last names starting with a C, me and Chris Candido had absolutely nothing in common. But I do get that at least once a year from somebody in the South. Didn't you die? No, not yet. Whew. I don't know, man. Tough. It's tough to be a wrestler. It's tough to be me. My wife just rolled her eyes at me. All right, next question from Zendog Media. Did you write all your own promos? Oh, you know what? I actually answered this on Twitter, and it's a good question. I do. And it's not because, you know, I've been wrestling for 20 years and I think I'm the shit. Is that in reality, I'm the shit. And I can't read a promo, and I can't read a script, and it's funny because if you give me a script, I'll flub it because I can't read it. I did a movie, a horror short, 2 years ago. Both my wife and I were in it called No Climbing Around. And my buddy Rob Dimension, who was on our second episode of the Steve Corino Show, he wrote the movie. And when he wrote it, he was so worried that I would be awful in this role, mostly because he knows that I'm awful at reading scripts. So for anybody that's watching, 99.99999% of the time, when I grab that microphone in the ring, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. I mean, I may look out at the crowd and, see like, oh, okay, there's somebody I'm going to pick on, or, you know, they're, you know, I know somebody's there. And I guess from over the years, I've heard so many insults to me that I'm so good at retorting that, you know, it looks like I'm much smarter than I am. Go ahead. You say it loud though.
I've been at shows with you when you sit there in the beginning and you go through the crowd and pick out who you're going to make fun of. And you tell me, oh, I'm going to fuck with this guy. Like him today.
You say it.
I'm going to do like mess with this guy. You pick them out by the way they look.
I do, but I don't know exactly what I'm going to say. It's not by the way they look. It's probably by the way
they
act.
That's not true.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you love it if I was one of those guys and like I just turn around and turn heel on you during one of our shows? It's like, that was me that you made fun of. And I like, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I've worked a lot of shows in New England. Yeah, and you'll break into your Boston accent.
It was me all along.
Yeah, you said I had an awful car. yeah. So I do my own promos and stuff. There's times when I'll jot down a little idea that I'll have for Ring of Honor, and sometimes I'll pitch it to Kevin Kelly and see if he likes it. But it's mostly if I need him to lead me into something. What was the line? Like, I borrowed a line from Modern Family and kind of made it my own. Young me. Like, oh, he reminds me of young me. And then I gave a new punchline to it. And I said, you know, the Korean heavyweight champion. And, you know, which, you know, some people liked. And then if you don't know humor, then you didn't get it. But most times all of my one-liners that I hit on Ring of Honor television are basically right at the moment. I think of something and I just hit it. All right. What we got here?
Next question. Speaking of Jordan, we have @Jordan_Carson who writes.
It's not the same Jordan.
Of course. @Steve Carino Show, what are your thoughts on the lack of, quote, color in WWE? Do you think it adds or takes anything away from the final feud matches?
Oh, that color. I thought we were on another Rusev keeps beating black guys.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're really upset about that.
Is that ridiculous or what? He beat Zack Ryder on Monday. Just Rusev's beating everybody. He's beating all Americans. Sometimes it's African Americans. But he's beating all Americans. Lack of color. No, man, I don't think blood is needed anymore in wrestling. And I say that as a guy that, you know, made a career in ECW out of bleeding. And, you know, it was never by choice. I was told what to do and I did it. You know, it's just like giving me a finish. Hey, you know, we need you to do this and we need you to do that. All right, I'll do it. You know, I never wanted to do it. I'm not Balls Mahoney and, you know, a masochist. You know, I just did what I had to do. I think in today's world, especially with the popularity of MMA, that the magic's gone in blood. You know, in MMA, they'll bleed from the nose or the mouth or the eye. No one really wants to see people bleed from the forehead anymore unless it's hard way. And, I mean, that's hard. You know, It doesn't take a great wrestler or a great worker to, you know, take a razor blade and cut their head. It's easy. Anybody can do it. I think that's why, you know, like hardcore promotions did it, because it was a way of masking other lack of talent. Not to say that I had a lack of talent. It was just I had blonde hair and I didn't know how to do it. And I would look like I cut my head off. But in WWE and stuff like that, I don't think it's needed, or ROH. You know, there's so much fear of concussions and Hep C and HIV that it's definitely not needed. It's the shock value's gone, you know, because people know how the magic's made. It's one of those things that people know that wrestling's worked and they understand that, and they understand that that's an art form, whereas the bleeding's not as much of an art form. Do you agree?
I agree, although I bladed before we started this segment, so you know.
Figured.
No, I actually, in all seriousness, I mean, it does look a little bit weird when you're trying to promote a Hell in the Cell match and guys are getting thrown into the steel and all that stuff all the whole time, and you don't see any blood. You do have to kind of take a step back and realize, okay, we're not back in the late 90s anymore. But, you know, for the most part, you can still enjoy a match without seeing a drop of blood. In fact, a lot of people probably prefer it that way.
I agree with what you just said to a point. Where someone like you and I, who are a little older, oh man, because we're so used to it, that's what we grew up on. But I think the kids of today, the 8-10 year olds and stuff like that, they would be horrified if they saw blood because they're not used to it. Mm. Like I think if they watch matches on on the WWE Network and ECW, they would be horrified at some of the shit that we did. And it's a shame because, you know, where you had so many great wrestlers and everything like that, I just don't know if everything holds up into 2014. I mean, I watched some of the stuff that I did, and I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, I could have done this or that, or I didn't like that, or, oh, they shouldn't have done this. And, you know, whereas, you know, now, even though I'm 50 pounds heavier and 14 years older, I feel like, oh, now I'm finally getting it. So I think it's just a generational thing right now. So it's Twitter love time. This one's from T-Dog HG, who is my buddy Thomas Simpson. He said, and I'll do it in his voice, listen to the Slave Carino show while working on my dissertation. ECW Anderson was a great guest. That really wasn't a good Thomas. Thomas Simpson is a guy that we're going to have on the Steve Carino show in the near future because he's just fabulous to talk to. He's fab. He's fabulous to talk to and a lot of fun. And, he's got some great stories. He's one of the original owners and founders of Omega Wrestling, and he's been around. He tells some great stories and always entertaining. We're definitely going to have him back on.
Well, there's definitely a story behind this Twitter love, and I really hope you can share it with us. It's from Brody BKM 1991. He goes, at King Carino, painting is finished. Love to hear your thoughts. Also love the podcast. Can't wait to listen to ECW Anderson. And then he has a link with a picture, which is a painting of you.
Yeah, it was a great painting. I saw it. I retweeted it. He had sent it to me at King Carino. Brody's a guy that just a real nice kid that, you know, he's an Ohio guy, and he comes to a lot of shows, and he just, you know, he's a great fan, just an absolutely great fan. I'm excited, you know, that he would do something like that for me. And the painting's good, and he made me look thinner. I was real excited about that. And I am going to put the painting that he did up on worldofcarino.com. So by the time that you listen to this on Place to Be Nation, head on over to worldofcarino.com and you'll see it. A great, great draw, or great painting, like a great painting. I look awesome in this thing. But I want to thank Brody Miller at Brody BKM 1991 for the painting. And big fan. Big fan of it. Hun, did you see this? Oh, she said she will. I'll have to keep it up here.
No, it really is nice. I wasn't trying to make fun. You weren't in on this until it was finished, or did he give
no,
you?
No, not at all. I was totally shocked today when I saw it. It was super cool. Now this weekend, like when we went over tonight, Friday night, is American Tigers graduation. Then on Saturday, I will be in Stevens, Pennsylvania for the Atomic Championship Wrestling promotion. Be there. Big Vito will be there to make my life a living hell. And so I'm sure he'll, hey, brother, why can't I be on your podcast? That's how he sounds. So maybe one day we'll have Vito on, who I have a record of 32-0 against. No shit. But and then next weekend, where am I? Oh, PWF in Hubert, North Carolina, and of course the ROH pay-per-view, and then it's vacation. You could hear my lovely wife in the background yell, vacay. We're going to have a vacation out at the Outer Banks, right? Oh, yeah. And it's going to be my first vacation in 20 years. We're going to get wild, which means we're going to drink a little bit and play PlayStation 3. Well, at least me and my brother-in-law will. Yeah. My wife's going to infect our baby with alcohol breast milk. But, yeah, so, hey, what's your plans for this weekend, Dan?
Well, it happened in the past, since you probably are listening to this on Friday, but I'll be at the Red Sox game on Thursday, so if they win or you hear about somebody running on the field, it probably won't be me. But that's going on. A few weeks I'll be going with the Place to Be Nation crew over to Money in the Bank. Chances are some form of maybe I'll give American Tiger some love and wear his shirt. I'm not sure yet which shirt I'll be wearing for that event.
And you get $5 back?
That's right. Yes, enter that contest, of course. Basically just chilling out. I bought a Swiffer, you know, so I actually was able to clean the apartment last weekend, so it's pretty wild up here.
You bought a Swiffer. Awesome. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at King Carino. You could also belong to my Facebook fan page, www.facebook.com/foreverheal. Go to my website, www.worldofcarino.com. My other projects, the PWF, their Twitter is at PWF Legacy. Their Facebook page, facebook.com/PWF Legacy. And their website, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. Don't forget to follow at Baby Monster C, at Legend of the Mask, at Queen Carino. What else? That's me. And also, from tonight, June 13th to July 4th, we're going to have that contest. ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino. You buy one of the four shirts or all four of them, you tweet it out, $5 rebate. Can't beat that. And then you wear it to the Money in Bank pay-per-view. Dan, give me some of your plugs.
All right. You can follow me, and not many of you are, but you can follow me at dmcg4881. You can also check out the other project that I work on, that being the Kevin Kelly Show, coming out this week. The one and only Bobby Fish will be on the program.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so when you're
no
done,
Bobby. Oh, I wanted him.
You did. So when you're done listening to us over the weekend, you can go backwards in time and listen to the Kevin Kelly Show featuring Bobby Fish. Justin Rosero's on the program. Great stuff. I hear the guy who writes the sports and wrestling flashes is really good too, though they don't let him talk. But you can check that show out as well on PlaceToBeNation.com. While you're at PlaceToBeNation.com, if you're going to do some weekend shopping, click on that Amazon banner. You just click on that, do your shopping, enjoy your new products, and in so doing, a few ducats go our way, as it were. We get a little bit of scratch, as I mentioned before. So definitely do that as well. So Kevin Kelly, PlaceToBeNation.com, and of course the Twitter. The conversation doesn't end when this show ends. We always, from time to time, have a couple barbs back and forth. Remember, Steve, did you get that story that I sent you before about a man legitimately got divorced because he didn't like Frozen?
That was awesome, yes. I sent it right to my wife. Yeah.
At least I like Frozen, so people can't hold that against me.
Yeah, you can never hold it against you. Frozen's awesome. I'm trying to watch it again this weekend, maybe. I know I just watched it yesterday, but I like the movie, and so it's back.
Right.
Let it go. All right. Guys, join us next week on the Steve Carino Show. Oh, who the hell was our guest? Let me look it up. I forgot. Gotta figure it out.
The big
who
one.
Who did I write down?
I thought it was a big one.
I don't know if it's a big one. I'm looking for my notes.
Maybe Mr. Wrestling 3 can join us. I'm sure he has an awful lot to say.
Oh, yeah. Next week, it's a big one. And we're going to announce it this week on worldofcarino.com. Wow, I can't believe it is that week. Are you sure? It is that week.
Mm-hmm.
Big guest, former WWE Tag Team Champion and a lot of other things. Oh, you can't say it! Yeah. His name is Matt. And we're going to have him on the show. Make sure you go to worldofcrino.com on Friday, or on maybe Saturday morning. We will, once you listen to this, go to worldofcrino.com and we will reveal who the special guest will be next week on the Steve Carino Show. Until then, he's Dan McGinn. My wife over there is Jordan Carino, and I'm Steve Carino, and you've listened to the Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to the Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. Open and whack free. I can't hold the heat no more. Yo, I gotta release it. What y'all wanna do? Don't you know we open?